I imagine we'll go to John 13. It's kind of feel that's the place to go instead of over in Corinthians again, just to read while we get ready for the communion foot washing. And it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now the feast of the Passover, of course, is when they had the Passover lamb. And they ate the lamb, of course. And they ate the bitter herbs. And they girded themselves for the journey. That's what happened back there in Egypt. And this, of course, is a continuation of what they did in commemoration to keep their hearts and their minds always in place by this great thing which God had done. Now remember, Jesus had said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So now this commemoration here, the Israel is going to feast. They're going to take the lamb and they'll eat it at the Passover, not knowing that from that moment on there could be no more sacrifice for sin, because that was the same time that Jesus would be crucified. He would die having given his body, and then there would be a communion service from that time on when people taking the bread and the wine, symbolizing the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, eating it as they eat the Passover lamb, which they don't eat his body, but they eat of the body of the Word, which they do, and the Word being full of life, full of the Holy Ghost, positively give them that which they have need of to take them to the end of their journey, which will one day be in the paradise, the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem of God. All right. And of course, the light from the blood coming back upon them. You see, it's not that they did not have that original life. It's like Brother Branham said. He said, one day you'll find out you always were saved. You always were that one. You'll find out. Because you see, he came on his own. He doesn't come to somebody else. It's the sheep that hear the voice. It's the sons that receive the Holy Ghost, not somebody else. See, so all right. He's telling, now supper having ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, that he was come from God and he went to God, rising supper, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, I'm not going to try to run a parallel here, because someone might say, well, what do you think would betray Brother Branham? Who would betray the Lord in this hour? Well, Brother Branham categorically said on a tape, he said, I know who my Judas is. And I think I know who he's talking about. I have good reason to believe that. Others have the same good reason. But that's beside the point. The point is this, who is it that is causing the crucifixion of Christ again in this hour? You know what it is, identity. It is the church. Brother Branham says, I indict this nation, the Jezebel Religion Church of America. See, who built the image to the beast. All right, the Judas. And you know the thing is this, that Judas was friendly toward Jesus, and the Bible says he greeted him with a kiss. I'm told the original Greek said an affectionate kiss. Now, you know something? Actually, people who study about Brother Branham, even after he's been dead for this 25 years and are not so kind as they once were, just very, very few people ever had something nasty to say. And those that were nasty were like this fella, Koch, I believe his name is, who Zondervan Press, I think it was, that published his book, Nothing But Sheer Lies. Myself, if I'd have been the Branham family, I'd have brought it to court. Because the man told nothing but lies. Lies, 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 and nothing but lies. But normally, the world said, Brother Branham, well, he was a good man. He sure wasn't like those idiots now, Lee Dale and those guys, you know, that preach. He was a fine man. He had a great ministry. But you see what it was? When he had the great ministry, he got too big for himself. But he's a nice man. There wasn't real hatred toward Brother Branham. Even when the Church of Christ man came and was so obstreperous, that Brother Branham completely won him over. When he said, you are of the devil. He said, one thing I'll admit, Brother Branham, you certainly have the Spirit of Christ. Now, that's the Judas kiss, so to speak. It's not a matter of hating. See, that's the thing why the world talks is love, 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 love stuff. It's not a matter of hating William Branham. But hey, the guy stood up and he said, different from us. Now, why do you think they killed the prophets? Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? Oh, not for good work, but you shot your face off, boy. We don't take that sitting down, not around here. Mm-mm. No, we know, we know, we know. And they don't know anything. They haven't proved anything. You tell me one thing any Pentecostal, any Methodist, any Baptist, any Presbyterian, any Roman Catholic, anybody else ever actually proved. Nobody William Branham. Nobody would even Branham. Come on, smarten up. Get your mind fixed. Get your heart fixed. Get the whole thing fixed. Nobody proved anything. This man did. I wish you'd have been around. That's beside the point. He rise from supper, laid aside his garment, took the towel, girded himself, poured out water, washed his feet, and so on. Now, you know, something I like about this, I won't read it all. He said, look, he said, you're going to know afterward what you don't understand now. When were the disciples told that they would understand when the Holy Ghost came? Now, Jesus washed their feet, making them understand, look, you don't need a complete bath when you've been bathed. It's just your feet. Maybe your hands or something got soiled. That's the part you take care of. What does it say at the end time? They wash their robes. If you were in the beginning a son of God, how could you be dirty? How could you be filthy? You're just washing your robes. Symbolic of the day that you wash this flesh. Either by the word of God and you're transformed, or your flesh goes to the ground and God recreates it. Lots of things he said you don't know. But foot washing is the sign that the Holy Ghost will take care of all those spots. Get those blemishes off you. Give you understanding. Because the thing is this, he never said, you'll know later of yourselves. He said, the Holy Ghost will tell you. We're in this last day, brother, sister, where the Holy Ghost tells us all things. The mysteries have been revealed. The seventh seal opened, the thunders of thunder. We're not waiting for anything really, but to come back to take over the 1,000 years. The resurrection is a cinch, because the message is a cinch. If the shout is a cinch and been proven, the voice is a cinch and the trumpet is a cinch. And the wedding supper is a cinch. Now, what are we waiting for? We're only waiting for the visibility when we meet him in the air. What does it matter the day or the hour of the minute? If they'd only known, they would have been ready. Just to be ready. Now, the Holy Spirit's cleaning up all those bad spots. Old Cain, poor old geezer, I got no problem. He said, you know, I know who he is. Leave him. Leave him to God. Leave him to his owner. I got no problem. But you know what he did? He had his spots all wrong. He's trying to worship God with plants and flowers. It's a sacrifice, a first fruit. But he wouldn't take the blood. Old Abel, he comes right along. He gets washed. Enters in the presence of God. The blood of Abel speaking. What about our day? Final washing, brother, sister. You get your feet washed tonight, think about what the Holy Ghost is doing for you by the Word. When someone's ministering, think how good the Holy Ghost is to be your faithful servant and to help you. That's my thoughts. Let's rise at this time. You better, brethren, come forward, those who are going to pray you. So, where's the brethren going to serve? And you all know how to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you tonight, singing songs and entering into this most wonderful service, which is commandery, Lord, of your death until you come. And since you came in the form of the Holy Spirit to take over your church, how much more do we recognize your presence, your appearing, knowing at this particular time, Lord, that these symbols are not wasted, but it's a reality. We do thank you for your death. We thank you, Lord, for the shed blood that brought about the ability to bring back the Holy Ghost upon us, to seal us in as the sons that we are and were. Set us on our journey with the Word, preparing us for the great millennium, the great wedding supper, all these things, Lord, of garments washed, separated, Lord, by your Word. We thank you for it. Therefore, may there be a new sacredness and a solemnity come upon us, O God, in this service and the services that follow, whatever they may be. Enter a new era, so to speak, Lord, a new plateau coming up higher and higher. where we see the grace of God manifest in whatever way you want, Lord. May we be privy to it by your word and stand in it. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Realize the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, but there's one thought I've carried in my mind a certain extent for many, many years now. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And I always ask the question, could my spirit make his spirit dirty, or did his make mine perfect? Let's come and start the foot washing service. We appreciate you all coming out tonight, and most gratifying to be with you. Trust the blessing of the Lord has been rich. I know you've enriched me by being here and praying for me. So let's rise and be dismissed and come back tomorrow around 10 o'clock. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and mercy to us. We're going to go home now. As we go, we pray you go with us to give us good night's rest, Lord, sleep. But in it all, Lord, may this deep consciousness, the Holy Spirit, be with us so that we might even have our thoughts and our mind, our dreams, Lord, oriented under the gospel, if possible. But if not, then, Lord, let it be at least pleasant thinking in those things, Lord, which come a derivative of the gospel, knowing we're looking forward, Lord, to this life which is beyond, which is going to be wonderful, Lord. We haven't got a clue hardly to what it is. We know it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be changed and marvelous. May these thoughts be with us, Lord, and may we love each other as we shall, and even in the future, knowing we're all part of you and part of each other. Dismiss us now with their love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus.
Corinthians, which we usually read, along with usually John, taking the 11th chapter there again, 23rd verse, "For I have received the Lord that was also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this to remember to me." Now, the Apostle Paul really is explaining what the communion is all about. What he's doing is telling them exactly what God told him. He's not holding anything back from them. He's sharing with them what he knows to be true. And this is how we look at the prophet's message at this time. The same pillar of fire that brought this to Paul, the same pillar of fire revealed it to us through the prophet at the end time, telling us these things, especially concerning the cup of the blood, the broken body, and he took the cup and supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament, my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Brother Branham said that the blood perfects the bride. That's true. Because if you go back to the beginning, to your origin, like this gentleman, the wrote Roots, very outstanding author, very excellent book, did a great job. He went back to his roots. What did he find? Humanity. That's nice. Makes a good story. A lot of people have done that. Family trees. Take it right back. In Australia and New Zealand, especially Australia for a while there, they were having a great ball. And if you could trace your ancestry back to the wickedest, rottenest, crook pirate, brigand, immoral scuzzball, why, you had the best name in society. See? Taking your roots back is all right if you want to do it. Satisfies human being. But this takes your roots back to God. Because if the blood scatters sin, which it does, and the blood perfects the bride, which it does, then you have to understand, in the first place, you had to be a son of God. And all you needed was the blood to perfect you. In other words, put you in the position of restoration. And what does the Holy Ghost do? Seals you and gives you the understanding of the Word so you can't be tricked like Eve. Now you're in a far greater position. Your sonship has been sealed to the day of redemption. That's what it says in Ephesians 1:13-14. Your sonship, you've been sealed unto the day of redemption, which means you're guaranteed what Adam lost for you. See? As Brother Branham said, one day you realize you always were saved. My Brother Branham took it right back, and I know theologians, well, they'll turn blue in the face. My, the people that are really spiritual, they are going to gag in their own their righteous indignation, where Brother Branham said he was in Christ atoning for his sins. Oh, they're not going to like that one little bit. But I prefer to believe a prophet than somebody that's smug, self-righteous individual doesn't mean anything to me. Can't give me anything, can't prove anything. I was with a man who could prove things. Why do I want to be about a bunch of idiots that think they got something and can't prove anything? So, Brother Bill, I got $100. Dig it out of your wallet. Let me see if you got $100. Come on, produce your bank account. See what you got. Don't talk to me what you got. You could be a complete nut. Maybe you are. Maybe I am. I mean, we shoot our mouth off. Anything goes. You blab, blab, blab. That's what's wrong, church. Blab, blab, blab. This man proves something. Now, you taking communion, you are recognizing the body was bruised and broken, and it had to be in order to shed the blood, but not a bone was broken. In other words, the skeletal structure upon which the body hangs, nothing happened to it per se. In other words, the strength. Nothing was destroyed. Blood was shed. And so now as we partake the emblems, especially the blood, we are attributing, confessing, confirming, witnessing to everybody, the blood is perfecting me as a son of God, because I am a son of God. And if you're not a son of God, you shouldn't be taking the communion. And the only way you know you're a son of God is to believe the word. And you stand right with vindication. And even though you can't prove the vindication, because the people, they won't listen anyway, and they weren't there. What can you do? Give witness? I'll say, well, you might have been deceived. You know, you might have turned your head. You know, come on. When a so-called smart man wants to deal you, he'll deal you. The word is shafted, I think, isn't it? Below the rib, any place else they want to get you, they'll get you. You can't discuss these things in the realm of the mind. This is a realm of the faith. So the blood perfects. Well, let's let that sink in. That's a very deep statement. How can the blood perfect unless there's something there that has within it the qualifications of perfection? Can I take blood and pour it over a statue and the statue talk? Can I now take holy water and pour it over a woman who's had three marriages and she's a virgin? Because the Catholic priest said so? Can I now take members on my slate in the church like the Protestants do? Every morning, at least the Catholics are a little bit tougher. They have their catechism all to go through and little ceremonies. But the Protestants, take my hand, you're in, bless God. They're worse than the Catholics. Can you talk to those people? Can you share and tell them anything? There's no way. Will they understand what I'm saying tonight? Ah, they think they do. But they cannot claim, because the majority, even the Calvinists, will not go back to claiming their actual participation in God as a part of God. No. No, you're just God's creation, God's children. You all went fooey haywire. Wasn't it nice the Lord came by and lifted you? That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Sons. He stands amongst the sons. The blood, therefore, then perfects us. All sin is washed away. There's no sin. The sinless, virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show how it came about by a death. So what? A lot of people die. You know, it's possible that some people died believing Jesus and in worse shape than Jesus was. Smitten, flogged, flesh lacerated, bones broken, burnt. What does that mean? They just died horrible death. You're looking at something different here. You're looking, as Brother Branham said, the life was in the blood. And when the life left the blood, it came back upon us in the form of the Spirit. You're looking at something far different than just somebody dying. You're looking at this was needful, which we don't understand. But it's needful, and it's ours, and we accept it. And we accept it in the truth of which it is, which makes other people gasp. They can't understand our understanding. I got news for you. You're not supposed to. Because if they understood it, it means that you misunderstood it. I said for years, and I say again, if I'm preaching as Brother Branham did, word for word, and I'm trying it. For a long time, I said, there's too many believing what I'm supposed to believe. I find out they're not believing it. They haven't got a clue. And the cute little things they're saying, I'm Joshua now. Did you know you folk presented me with a car on the 50th anniversary in honor of Joshua? When they found that was a lie, they said, no, it's on the sidewalk, where there's no sidewalk. And I didn't get a car. I got a check. That's thousands of miles from here. Did the prophet say the truth, or did he say the truth? They're not going to like what I got. I'm back. Listen, if they like what I got, then I got something wrong. The prophet lied. I'm not trying to make enemies of people, and I'm not trying to boast them. I'm just trying to lay on and let you know. Listen, you people smarten up and believe. Not for me. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. But I tell you the truth, and I don't lie to you. They're blood perfects. Perfect's only children, because in the beginning they are perfect. They fell into sin. Now, the blood removes it all. Now, if every error is gone, every sin is gone, what's left? Perfection. Scattering sin to be no evidence. What are they going to come against you with? They can't, but we'll be little attorneys on that day, and men standing in witness. And the judgment will not blow us away, but it'll blow the chaff away. You're taking more than just emblems this night, brother, sister. You're taking what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just have our minds renewed once and for all? Isn't it funny to get this, well, what it is, it's like a, how will I describe it? A loaf of bread uncooked like a hunk of dough up here. And a sort of a pressure here that doesn't want to give way. I'm human, you're human too. You know what I'm talking about. How come? There's the Armageddon fight. There's the greatest battle going on right now. Whether you feel it, or whether your mind can even think it, it doesn't matter. It was proven. If he said it, backed up by God, God said it. And God and his word is one. As God cannot fail, his word cannot fail. Neither has the blood failed. And tonight the Holy Spirit's with us, not in this building here. God in the form of the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire came down, brought the message, is now taking head of the church to bring the dead out, to change the last believers, take us away. That's what this supper signifies tonight, brother, sister. Because Paul said, I got it by revelation. And the same Holy Ghost that gave it to him is here tonight. Was with the prophet, vindicating himself entirely that this is the truth. Let's rise at this time. Those that serve, please come forward right away. Heavenly Father, we know that not by our shouting, not by oration, not by many fine words, not by trying to attempt to coerce people, convince people, will make us right in what we say, but we know we had a vindicated prophet, and we know that he is right when he said the blood of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate tonight, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the broken body. Absolutely within that lies the power which removes sin, destroyed it completely, took it away to be no evidence, perfecting a bride. We stand on that tonight, Lord. Help us to really stand on it. Oh God, in your power tonight is the life of that word that we have in our minds to go right down into our souls and then come blasting into our hearts and out of our mouths, perfected by the blood, completely righteous, deliberately by Almighty God himself. Here we stand, vindicated by thus saith the Lord, nothing in our hands we bring, we don't have to bring anything in our hands. Nothing on our feet, it doesn't matter where we come, what we got, what we've accomplished, those things don't matter, but we have a word in our mouth, Lord, a testimony that says this is truth. And that's all we need. I believe that tonight, Father. At least it's all we can produce. And we're leaving you, Lord, to do the rest. To give us whatever we have need of. As we partake of them tonight, Lord, let it be thus, let it be so. Let there not be one feeble person amongst us. Let there not be one, Lord, whose anxieties and cares overcome. But let the strength of God suffuse our hearts and our minds, Lord God, until the sick amongst us are healed. But above all, the spiritual impact leads us to a higher elevation we've had ever before. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and give praise. Amen and amen. But this time you come forward and we'll partake of the foot washing service. Lord, you let us live through this day, Lord, to see the word of a prophet fulfilled, to see the word, Lord, become more startling real to us, understanding more of what it's about. We appreciate that so much. Now we ask you to go with us as we go to our various homes and places of slumber. May we have undisturbed sleep, Lord, and strength come into our bodies and come back tomorrow, Lord, renewed in our bodies, but above all in our spirits and our minds. Help us, Lord, to see these words fulfilled in our lives, Lord. Our moderation is known unto all men, and we have a good witness unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Whatever we see there, we see so many things as time goes on. It's kind of a very joyful thing to get into Scripture. And Paul again is saying, "For I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you." Now, why would he say, "I received the Lord," except there's vindication? You know, anybody can hear voices and see a lot of things that are absolutely outside of the realm. But what Paul is saying here is he realized that Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. That, as Brother Branham said, how do you explain when Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father"? What he said is very simple, because it's the truth, just you're looking at me. He said, "I'm a man." Guaranteed the fact before us that the pillar of fire was in him, God was in him, God in the prophets. That's what it was. God in the form of the Son, in the sense that God was now in that particular office, in that particular role. So Paul is saying here, "I received of the Lord," he's talking about vindication. So vindicated that he could tell the people about his vindication. So vindicated that he could stand like Brother Branham and say, "Listen, if God told me tomorrow morning to go down there at the grave and raise up Herod, I'd go down and raise him up." Because you see, vindication is not something that you simply gloss over any more than the presence. Because presence depends upon vindication, and vindication depends upon presence. See? Say, "Paul, who confronted you?" He said, "Jesus." "Now, I received," he said, "by vindication, and I delivered it to you." And he must have proved his vindication to deliver this to them so they'd believe him. Why should we believe Brother Branham? I see a lot of Pentecost. I saw Dr. Charles Price. One of the most fabulous Pentecostals I've ever seen in my life. You couldn't lay a finger on the man. He was a spiritual, mental giant. He didn't have Brother Branham. I read a book of Dr. Price's. I knew he's off beam. I read another book. I knew he's off beam. What's a little jerk like me knowing the guy's off beam? Because the same little jerk knew intuitively when I saw Brother Branham, that's the man you listen to. Not Charles Price, not those other guys. Let the Shakarians do that. That's their business. I'm not interested. He's a great man. I love Dr. Price. I knew him. But, hey, I knew Brother Branham. I knew him better. Now, that he said, "I delivered you that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread." How do you know it? "When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Now, what did Jesus do? He thanked God for the bread. He thanked God for his body, which would be broken. How often do we thank God for our bodies that we are here in this life in this form? Not very often, and I'm with you and ahead of you. It's funny that the theosophists, the philosophers, and some what you call positive thinkers, some charismatic couple thrown in now and there, they are very great to be very grateful concerning the life that they have. Where most of us feel we've been caught away with another vision of the hereafter, and we're not too happy because we're here. That's not right. I'll be the first to admit it. It's not right. I don't care how rotten we feel, how things are down, and they can be pretty miserable. We should thank God for the life that we have in this body, temples of the Holy Ghost, that we can be servants of Almighty God. Because like Paul, we are receiving revelation from him. It doesn't matter if it comes through Paul, William Branham, or somebody else. Thank God for the revelation. Thank God I was in this body I thank God like Jesus Christ thanking it. He said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken to this remembrance of me. So there we see at the Lord's table is the position of sacrifice. I am here for somebody else's good. Brother Branham tells a story of how, and Billy Paul tells it, and different ones tell it. It was very briefly on the tape, and Billy tells more, how the Brother Branham had an injured ankle where the blood was blackened all the way up his shin and his calf, and he suffered for weeks. Yet at the same time, he could pray for Danny Wirtz, and a cancer fall off his ear. He could pray for Billy Paul, so sick he was vomiting from nerves and all. He would be perfectly well. Another person perfectly healed, but Brother Branham couldn't even pray for himself. You know, maybe my biggest problem is I can teach a whole lot better than I can receive it. My gift isn't for myself if I do have a gift. And neither are you for yourself. See? But we are for each other. This is the true social light we're looking at, not what the church looks at. We're looking at individual members in Christ, that these lives are meant to be broken, and they are meant to do somebody some good. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. So we see here then the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, the thankfulness that he had. I thank you, my Father, that I can take this cup and drink it and bear it. We should also enter into the same communion, which is to thank God for those things that come upon us, because we will go through victorious. We cannot ever see a manifestation of character and strength unless there are these things in our lives. After the same manner, he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the cup in New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. In other words, he said, I'm going to shed my blood now. And when I shed my blood, I thank you for the privilege of doing it. So many of us do not really understand the Lord's Supper means we should be very, very thankful that we can stand in this position and give our lives and our substance these things for the glory of God to try to help somebody. This is a very selfish world in which we live. The Laodicean church says, a rich increase in goods and don't lack a thing. Let's just have more and more of the same. Hallelujah. You've heard me say many, many a time, if this is the great tribulation, you know, just give me 2,000 more years in good health. Because we really have not paid much of a price. Perhaps in our nerves we pay quite a price. But outside of that, there's none here tonight can say we've really paid much of a price. I many times have talked to you some of the things I've gone through, but I've told you at the same time as I look back and there's nothing. That's what the song said, the trials of this life will be nothing when we get to the end of the road. Actually, they're stepping stones. So Christ took the privilege of thanking the Father, having the privilege of laying aside all those things that he was inherently and what he had, laying it aside, even with his own memory, coming down here and stripping himself, came down to do this. And he was very, very grateful he could do it. Now, as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, it was a matter of an actual demise and setting himself aside in this particular ordinance. And so we at the same time recognize his lordship and his headship, that we are required to do the same, because he said that anyone who follows after me and doesn't take up his cross is not worthy of me. And then again it says, let a man eat this bread and drink this cup, Lord, if he drinks it unworthily, he'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I can say here then, there is not a penalty, but there is a debt to pay. And we should be always conscious of the fact that we can and are glad to do it. And anybody that is not happy to be associated with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into that same debt. Because remember, Paul said the sufferings of Christ have been left behind for us to fulfill. We should be glad that this represents the suffering and we can enter into it also. Brother Branham himself said one time, he said, when Christ died, I was there atoning for my sins within him. That's a very tremendous statement. I wouldn't want to take it too far. You can see, you have to be very careful with it, but he put it where I'm seeing it tonight, and we should also then follow Brother Branham. In 28, let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eats and drinketh damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are sick, sickly among you, and many are weak, and many die. Now, this is a rich Laodicean age. We're rich in Christ and goods, bless God. He's outside the door. They don't even know he's outside the door. They're talking about all the good word, all the good things they've got. They're talking about the Son of Man ministry, and they're sharing it, not knowing they're entering into the Son of Perdition, allying themselves with it. They're boasting about themselves. Hey, look at us, look at us, look at us. There's not one broken down in the presence of Jesus Christ to really honor him and understand. Because, you see, they reject the word. The sacrifice means nothing without the word. If you died under Moses' law, it tells you, but two or three witnesses, you trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, it's much more severe punishment. So you could have a lamb, and the lamb's blood was offered. When the man went out there and gathered those sticks on the Sabbath, he died for it. See, you don't turn down that word. And remember, suffering without the gate. He suffered without the gate because he wouldn't bow to their traditions. He would sooner suffer. Whether we enter into a suffering very soon by persecution of the church, because Brother Branham said the third pull comes into final and great play when the squeeze comes down by the World Council of Churches. I don't understand all that. I'm not here to say that I do. Could there be a manifestation amongst us? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Manifestation or not, it's already vindicated. And brother, sister, you don't vindicate what's vindicated. But you can believe what he said and what's going to come. So tonight as we partake of these emblems, let us realize that we're entering in the same as he did. It spells death. It spells death to those things which we might consider of value as human beings. That we once considered valuable in Laodicea. But now we only consider the one thing. And that is this word. And remember, he said, because they turned it down, they're weak and they're sickly. With the same thought in mind, it's the same thought that Brother Branham brought. He said, let there not be one feeble among amongst us, everyone healed. You can claim positively the signs following the word, because the signs that came before the word absolutely vindicate this as the light and the light. Shall we rise at this time and the brethren come forward? Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, now as we are bowed in your presence to partake of these emblems, having little thoughts, Lord, we believe that you are pleased with having given us. We believe, Lord, these things we would enter more and more into thy death, because we know the further into your death, the further into the resurrection we come, knowing the depths thereof. Help us, Lord, to realize we're not pawns, but we're living sacrifice, that we give ourselves unto you tonight. And we share in all these things the suffering you left behind. Help us, Lord, to understand this and stand with the word. No matter what it costs us, it's really worth it all. Even as the songwriter said, it will be worth it all as we see Jesus. Life's trials will be over when we see God. That's true, Lord. But we've already seen you. That being the truth then, Lord, how much more does this mean to us than what was ever in that song? So as we partake then, Lord, let all this devolve upon us and become a part of us. We consecrate the broken bread that's been broken, Lord, tried in the fire. The wine, Lord, has gone through the process and aging, showing the character, the things you wrote. Consecrate it all and identify ourselves with it, what you did. Identify ourselves in your death and in your resurrection. And unto thee we give the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We just rise and be dismissed this time. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you, and we cannot thank you enough, Lord, and come into thy presence and praise you enough for your goodness. We just ask you now the things which we have heard that might have been fresh to us, with understanding concerning the depth and reality of your word in this hour, the manifestation of God, may we not forget of it. May rich grow rich and increase in us, Lord. May we be better servants of yours, loving and serving each other, and showing forth the presence of God in our lives. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. I want to go back and forth quickly because I don't want to take too long. And it says here, Paul speaking, and he said, verse 23 in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered in you, that the Lord Jesus, same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke the bread and said, this is my body, took the cups up, and said, now this do an offer, remember to me. Now Paul, of course, is referring to what Peter says over here in the second chapter of Acts, when on the day of Pentecost. I see Peter was there and saw it, and John was there, but Paul was not there. Paul just had it revealed. In that second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Ghost fell, signifying that Christ has risen from the dead and he's now laying a platform and consequently a foundation for the Gentile church. They spoke with tongues and they acted like people thought they were drunk, but they weren't. And Peter said, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk, but this is spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. That's the last 2 days. on earth as 5,000 and 6,000 years. And, of course, culminating at the very end of it, the last days of the last days, form a spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters, prophets, and so on, then the great tribulation would come. But it also says, it will come to pass, which you will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Now, notice the name of the Lord. Now, Brother Branham said, the name of the Lord revealed is the word of God manifested. So, in other words, you can, that's what I already said about vindication. Paul said, well, look, we're going to talk about Jehovah. Who's Jehovah? We got Thor, we got Jupiter, we got this fellow, we got that guy, we got Mars, so on. Well, he said, we got Jehovah. And your gods cannot do what this God does. I'm going to tell you his name. See, his name is Jesus, which means Jehovah Savior. So, all right, he tells him. Now, the same thing here, what Peter's saying here, see. They that call upon the name of the Lord. Now, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves know. Now, listen. You people who saw the miracles and signs and wonders, and you couldn't argue them, you didn't debate them, any more than you would debate Moses. But watch, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The same is today in Hebrews 6, when they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. The people who saw the signs and the wonders, the Pentecostal age which knew all about the latter rain, that knows all about the power of God, that knows how to pray in Jesus' name, are still Trinitarian idolaters in the midst, in the most of them, they are, and the oneness, they are strictly Jesus only. So where are they at? Who then are going to crucify the Son of God afresh? Those that are fully acquainted. At that time, it says, before the sun gets darkened, the Spirit is poured upon all flesh. And that's exactly what happens. When the Word was crucified in this hour, the life went out and anointed everybody. So it went to the Catholics, the Neo-Pentecostals. It went to the Lutherans. It went to the Baptists. It went everywhere. Until the denomination of the full assemblies of God and these others and the latter rain have grown to such an extent they are something to be reckoned with. And they're all sucked right back into the harlot and her daughters. They're all in there. But these are the ones that with wicked hands have crucified the Word. They're the wicked ones. Because they know that the devil doesn't heal. They know the devil doesn't have thus saith the Lord. They know these things. But by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, they've done it. That's exactly why the Great Tribulation can set in at any minute. And why you see over there in the Middle East with what's going on, you see the seeds of Armageddon. I understood there was 99 nations against, but somebody said the other day on the radio, 149. I know 149 nations could sign up something like that. And the contingency clause is definitely, the United States having gone with it, something must be done about Palestine. So the whole world will be telling Israel, as they've told her now, I'm sorry, but you're not going to have that land the way you want it. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to take Jesus to get it for him. Now, how long are they going to play around? Already Malachi Martin has told us 91 and 92 and we're into it. As I said the other day, you don't see anybody going, these leaders of the world going to anybody but the Pope, and he ain't going to nobody. He made himself a hero when he went to Poland and didn't even have the courage to help that poor little priest that was killed and say a good word for him until after Poland gets delivered. Of course, he had it all made up with Gorbachev already. So who's kissing whose foot? You're kissing the Pope, though. He's St. Peter. He's got the fisherman's key. He's got the goofy hat. He's got the robe. Man, doesn't that set you apart? Oh. Can you believe in this hour that people who understand atomic science can split genes and make things right now? I just read today in the paper that by splitting genes and bringing it back together, they have now got a medicine so powerful you can be having a terrible stroke and dying, and they give you a shot, and like that, you're over your terrible trouble in your heart. You're just like a kid again. And then they believe this hogwash? I can see why Kennedy is what he is. His brain's gone to mush. So the rest of them simply gone to mush. Now they're going to make, try to make a thing out of John Kennedy. Yeah, they are. They really are. He's a great American patriot. You know, he's supposed to sign the bill that put the Federal Reserve out of business and put the money back in our hands where it should be. Brother Branham did say the syndicate got him. Will the world soon know that Kennedy tried to do for America what America should have done for itself years ago, was give the money back to the people, not the Federal Reserve? I don't know if you know much about politics. I think, Gene, you read quite a bit. What's that Rockefeller and the bunch used to be called? The Tri-something, what do you call them? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. They still talk about that as though it's real, but I'm going to tell you one thing. The Jews got the paper and Rome got the gold. And Rome is going to take over because paper ain't no good. So the Jews have cut their own throats with their Federal Reserve and everything else. Find out who advised our government ever since the time of Wilson. Look at the guy. You're going to say, are you a Jew baiter? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, hey, don't you understand the Bible? It's the world going against Israel, so therefore the Jews and the Gentiles are in conflict. And who's in conflict? Heading the Gentiles, the Pope. So it's boiled down now to the Gentiles and Israel. It's boiled down now to Christ and Antichrist. It's boiled right down now to the Son of Man and the Son of Perdition. It's boiled right down now overnight. When he that's in our midst becomes incarnated in Jesus Christ our Lord, we'll meet in the air, and the other fellow will be right down here to get incarnated in the Pope. That's it. So you're celebrating communion with the full understanding of what's going on. They crucified the Word. The life has gone out. The world is running fast to destruction. The bride is on her way to glory. Let's rise at this time. Your brethren, come forward. Heavenly Father, again we want to commit ourselves to the Word of Truth by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit by the Word, so we're all one in this understanding of the present hour. We certainly appreciate your truth opened up to us by the man that you sent to us. We really do appreciate that. See, in a relationship and the oneness as we haven't seen before, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can keep on seeing it until it becomes the literal fount in our lives, and that's all we do see. We don't want to be Brother Branham, certainly not, but we do want to be the son of the prophet, all sons and daughters of him, Lord, to be one with him, with you, even because you said, he that receives from dry sin, receive with me. Now, help us, Lord, as we receive these emblems, to understand the lateness of the hour, what's really taking place, that we are celebrating anew, not that you've been crucified in the flesh again, but understanding the Word and the Son of God crucified afresh to the people, and what they've done, Lord, and understand this very thing that is going on, which we see. So we thank you for all these things and partake. May it bring spiritual wholeness to the people, Lord. May it bring spiritual prosperity. And then as a lesser blessing, and yet one that we would regard very highly as coming from you, the physical blessing, Lord, in our bodies. Financial doesn't mean so much, Lord, because we know it's Laodicea. We'll make out somehow. But, Lord, in this hour, the great thing is a spiritual impact and then some physical help, too, which we'd appreciate. Unto thee we commend ourselves, these emblems and all the people together in this building, everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The brethren, just quickly, sir, those that are going to play. For your goodness and mercy to us, Lord, so rich in grace and love and goodness to us, Lord. We are not worthy to realize that according to what we are in the flesh, but we do appreciate it and thank you for it as sons, trusting, Lord, as the days go by. Yes, Lord, without another day going by, we might rise more to the occasion to be more loving and kind and more one with your Word, Lord, to serve you by serving others, to love you by loving others, but all according to the Word, Lord, not according to anything else. May the Spirit of God live in our hearts, minds, and lives by this Word, Lord. That's what we desire. Dismiss us now, Lord, we pray. May we go with joy in our hearts and peace in our hearts and our mind to God, thankful for this great rest of the end time, this relaxation, strong in thee, Lord, by the power of your might, and then have a good night's rest, Lord. Refreshed to come tomorrow to be with your Word again, fellowship with each other, which we delight in and appreciate so much. Bless each one here, Lord, and those that have a need, may they be met by and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. the communion. Kind of feel to read in John again. I don't know why, but I just feel to read there. And we can read verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now, you notice he didn't say two or three are going to do it. You're going to leave me en masse. He says, it's going to just take one of you. That's what Brother Branham said, that one person in the meeting that's all wrong can deprive many people of healing. Many things can be neglected. And many things can be undone or not done because of one person. And that's true. Now there's leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Maybe John's giving himself a little pat in the back here. That's all right. You know, he loved the Bible. Just John also had, he loved his own unto the end. So John kind of clears the record. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it was, who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, what thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag, and Jesus said, buy those things we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then having received the sop, went out immediately. It was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now notice that, very particular. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, in a little while I'm with you, and you shall see, and I said to the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So I say a new commandment to you now, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, you have to love one for another. Now this is very applicable to this particular hour, to the bride of Jesus Christ, because although there's three kinds of believers ever present, this does not mean to say that the bride itself, though here, there, and in a checkered situation, is not true bride and capable of loving each other no matter what the situation is, and also going so far as to love the others who may or may not be bride. Now, at the particular time of the betrayal, you will notice that Jesus said, the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him, which actually has to do with the fact that the betrayal was the key log that let loose the log jam so that all of those logs could be safely carried to their delivery. Because the log jam would signify those plans and those things were completely gone awry and skewed up. But you then pull that one pin and everything begins to move into flow. So what he's saying here now, the scene is set for the crucifixion of Jesus, which will be the removal of that key log so that all salvation can flow forth to a safe delivery for those that are identified with him. Because he does identify with them in the book of Hebrews, taken from the Psalms. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and recognizes them for what they are, which is brethren on the grounds of the same source. So the glory of God has begun to set in, looking forward right down to the New Jerusalem. Now that was a very critical, crucial period. And at the same time, it opened the doors to the Gentiles, which would now be able to come in after the day of Pentecost, as Peter was given the keys to open both doors to the Gentiles and to the Jews. Now, what I'm looking at is the same thing happening in Hebrews chapter 6, where they crucified to themselves afresh the Son of God. And you'll notice that once the prophet brought forth the message, I indict this generation, And flashing red light, it is coming, you know, counting down, and those very stern, but especially I indict this generation. He pointed out the fact that America and the world had actually crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. And so what he was saying there is the same thing today. The betrayal has taken place. I do not pray for America. She has missed her chance. And so now, there's only one thing to look forward to, and that is that which was that key in there, has now been removed to bring all of these things which are jumbled and jangled amongst the brethren and the people into a smooth flowing torrent so they can be carried on to the place where they are supposed to be carried on. Now in that carrying on, you will notice that the most particular log that really jammed the children of God, the children of men, that is speaking now in terms of the children of Adam and Eve, those coming from God but brought forth by them, was that they had actually made a condition whereby the people could not get to the tree of life. And until the people can truly get to the tree of life, there cannot be the establishment of Eden. Now, I don't care, brother, sister, if... I don't care in the sense that it doesn't matter if Jesus died upon the cross and rose again, and all these others like Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Abel and Job and I believe David and different men like that. In that first resurrection, Joseph there, of course, those in the first resurrection, Paul himself said, if the dead rise not, we are of all men most visible. He said, Christ the first fruits, after those Christ at his presence. And he set the tree of life in this hour and in our generation. See? At this betrayal. So, once there's been a betrayal of the Word, which is Christ, this now removes the log that's the key in the jam and allows the eventual almost immediate egress of the bride out of Babylon to enter in to the millennium, the tree of life intermits, the seal being open. Now the dead can come forth. They now can receive eternal life without dying, which is the key to the whole thing. Because God said, lest he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. That was the log jamming the whole pile. And it's always jammed it. Now, it says God is glorified in him. And he is glorified in the Lord. And this is what you're looking at. We are now absolutely in the book of Ephesians. And look what it says over here in the book of Ephesians. The first chapter. That right after the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you know, it gives out. Now, wherefore, verse 15, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, that love unto all the saints, he's not give thanks to you, make mention of prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. You see, you got the same word there again. Glorified. In other words, you're getting now to the place where you have this great thing is going to take place, and it is taking place right now. Because it tells you that everything outside of the seals, and that day of opening, the just are just, the unjust are unjust, righteous, righteous, unrighteous, unrighteous, right, filthy or filthy, right down the line. And then it says, he that washes his robes, gets his robes right, has the right to the tree of life. And then it says, without are dogs, those that love a lie. Everything is wicked. So you see now what's happened, the same thing has taken place. The key is the betrayal. Now, who betrayed God at the end time? I can tell you categorically, the Pentecostals. They've been betrayed. Completely betrayed. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And they say, we're rich and increasing goods only today. They don't have a clue of vindication that allows the word to come and the miracles and wonders that follow the word. Now, listen, there were signs and wonders that Jesus did and his disciples did vindicating who and what. But after the life came back upon the people, it was the anointing to prove the word was what it was said it was to be, generally to the people. They'd go out and preach the gospel. But there's no man can take a gospel unless it's vindicated to be the gospel. So here we have at the end time, the vindicated word. There's been a Judas betrayal. Brother Branham, you spoke of one person. He said, I know who my Judas is. Why, the guy's dead now, I'm sure. He's a complete mess. But Brother Branham didn't have just one Judas. He had a lot of Judases. Who betrayed him down in South Africa? This man's son goes around saying, oh, I preached to 500,000 people great signs and wonders. As far as I know, he turned his complete understanding and completely back on the truth of the Godhead. Well, he might preach to 1,000,000 people and raise 1,000 dead. That doesn't mean one thing. It's over. See, you've got to understand this is definite. It's got to be for somebody. You say, what if we go down? Live or die, sink or swim. What are you going to do about it? You're going to sit here and say, well, Brother Vail, I think I've got a little ace in the hole. I got a card up my sleeve. Someone will pull your sleeve. And you'll just be shown to be a lousy poker player. A cheat. Not a Christian, just a cheat. You gotta understand there is a tie post. There is an ultimate. Brother, sister, to gain the ultimate. It only took one, it said here, but he betrayed him, but that was what was needed. It had to be done. Then he turned and he said, now look, he said, you love each other. I often said that this church stands on one thing, which is the Word. That's the tie post. That's the whole tie post. Why? Because out of the Word comes love. The true love. Out of it comes everything. Stature of perfect man starts with faith. But faith starts with the revelation. What's the revelation? Out of the Word. You go to the Word. So tonight, we wash feet. We take the Lord's Supper. We know it won't be long now. Won't be long now. I wonder if maybe the feet of those like Abraham are walking very close to the earth at this point, just out there a little ways. It's all a dimension anyway. It's all a dimension. Yeah, let's rise at this time. Brethren, come forward right away to serve. There, I want to thank you now for this precious time, Lord, of the taking of these emblems, which we know that you said we would do until you came, representing and showing forth your death. And we're very glad that became our way of life. We appreciate it. We also do not appreciate the fact that you were betrayed, on the one hand, yet we appreciate the fact that you were, because without it, it wouldn't have been done. So, Lord, we don't appreciate that this could be done to you, but we do appreciate the fact that you made yourself available for what was necessary, that it would be done. And therefore, it is with great respect that we partake of these emblems tonight, knowing what they really mean. And we do thank you for it. We know also somebody had to do it, the betrayal. And we know it's been done again tonight, the word betrayed again. Can't shed your blood, we know that's true. To themselves, it's already been done, but never to you again. But now, Lord, we approach under the tree of life. We know that's also embodied here in a great sense of the word. Because you said, until you come, and we know that there is a great truth in the fact that your presence is here, the same one that became man, the same one available to us. We appreciate that so much. So help us tonight, Lord, that we don't understand a lot of things. We do understand this much, that there is a proven word tonight, and we're standing on it. And believing as time goes on, what we don't know, we'll understand if we're supposed to understand. If we don't understand, Lord, at any time, in the near future, at least, Father, we're putting our hearts out to believe exactly what was said and try to understand it. Forgive us for any little misunderstanding we do have in the meantime, but bring us all together, Lord, in the faith in this vindicated word and the love we have for that word coming over to each other, making us tender and more merciful and gentle and helpful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you again now for your mercy and grace to us, Lord, which has been manifest in this last hour. We're so grateful, Lord, that you chose us to be a part of it. Now as we go home, Father, we pray that you'll give us a safe journey, a good night's rest, Lord, renew our strength, and bring us together, Lord, with a greater understanding and joy and the Holy Ghost by the way of the Word than ever before, and a greater reverence to you, Lord, and a better sweet spirit amongst ourselves and each other, Lord, honoring you and honoring even ourselves as children of God, that we will not do anything but to dishonor you, Father. May we honor the vessel that you gave us, Lord God in heaven. So may it all be a great honor to you tonight, Lord, in the days to come, knowing that even greater honor is waiting you, Lord, in that great day, and greater honor is waiting us. So the glory of the Lord increasing and manifesting hour by hour. Unto thee we give the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name.